Distinguishing between the generations, here's Pastor Jeff Johnson.
We've learned that the first generation knows God and knows His power. The second generation only knows God. They haven't experienced His power. They don't know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. They haven't really entered in to just selling out and just being filled with God's Spirit and so in love with Him. So the second generation, they miss it. And the third generation neither knows God nor His power. And now we got a problem, big problem.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after You. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
The importance of passing the baton from one generation to the next cannot be overstated. Failure to do so leads to trouble on multiple levels. On today's Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson, we return to 2 Chronicles. We'll hear of failure on a spiritual and leadership level that leads to a national crisis. It's cataloged for us in 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Let's join Jeff there as he begins today's program.
Well, we've been on a journey, and we've been going through a number of kings. Started with David, and then we went on to Solomon, second generation. And then from Solomon, we went on to his son, Rehoboam, third generation. Forget about it. It was insane. It was a disaster. So we skip another generation, the fourth generation. We go on to then Asa, and Asa is the first generation of revival in the land of Judah. They needed it bad. We know that the northern 10 tribes were messing around with sin, and they allowed it in, and because of that, they are no longer there in the north. They've been carted away. Many hundreds, maybe even thousands, escaped, went down south to Judah. So there's not 10 lost tribes, okay? There's plenty that made it down, and so they're not lost. So we enter into then Asa's revival, and then we go on from Asa. Asa, first generation, good things happening. Crazy, good blessings upon the people, unbelievable. And then Asa dies, and he brings forth Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is the second generation. He struggles a little bit with compromise, and he goes through it. I mean, he gets compromised with the king of the north, Ahab, and we've heard that story. And how that messed things up, and how he made some big mistakes. But he learned from his mistakes, and he loved God, and he sought the Lord, and he loved the things of God, and he just wanted to do it right. And so he repented and got back with the Lord. And so we left off last now with Jehoshaphat going on to be with the Lord, and now the next son, third generation. Not good, right? It's always that way, it seems. And the reason is because the baton handing over to the next generation isn't handed over, you know, all the way. Because we've learned this through Judges, that the first generation knows God and knows His power. The second generation only knows God. They haven't experienced His power. They don't know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. They haven't really entered in to just selling out and just being filled with God's Spirit and so in love with Him. So the second generation, they miss it. And the third generation neither knows God nor His power. And now we got a problem, big problem. So Jehoshaphat was a good king. He learned his lessons. One of the great lessons he learned was being unequally yoked with a non-believer. Not good at all. So he looked to God, and he ended well. He ended well. Third generation, their sin in the camp. the allure of sin. Here we see the results of sin, which is rebellion, which is revolt against God. It's treachery. It's getting into the flesh. Sin is true. It's like leprosy. It'll eat you alive. As you live, it'll continue to eat away. It's a horrible thing. The next two kings that we're going to experience in chapter 21 and chapter 22 bring Judah to an all-time low in their existence as a nation. An all-time low. Sad, but true. So, chapter 21. Now, Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. Jehoram. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, and these various brothers. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. So he had a number of sons. He had actually six. And their father gave them great gifts of silver. So God is blessing Jehoshaphat, gave him children, many children, to have grandchildren. And God gave them gifts of silver and gold. They had plenty of precious things. With fenced cities, they had protection. God provided, showed them what to do. But, and there's one of those buts you don't want to read about, the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Firstborn usually is the one that leads the group. But his problem, Jehoram, he married Ahab's daughter, evil woman, big time, Jezebel's daughter. Jezebel, remember, is the most evilest woman in the Bible. Jehoram was very insecure in his life. He was jealous. He was a little bit warped. He was born and kind of raised up around. You go over to the in-laws and the outlaws, and he did. And he learned Ahab and Jezebel's family, and he learned about evil. He learned about the dark side. And it's always get rid of the opposition. It's always don't let anybody get in your way. If they get in your way, get rid of them and move on. But whatever you do, get ahead. So sort of he made the same mistake as his father did. Remember over in chapter 18 in verse 1. In 18:1 it says, "Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance and joined affinity with Ahab." Remember? He joined the north. He joined this very corrupt, evil individual to go to battle together and thinking that, okay, this is okay, I guess. We can do this. But remember, Jehoshaphat never had battle, never had war. He was at peace with God, with his fellow men in this area. They didn't have war. But his decision to be unequally yoked, immediately they went to war. That's what it brings. Flesh begets more flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap everlasting life. If you sow to the flesh, you what? Reap corruption. That's what war is, isn't it? Corruption. So compromise again enters in to Jehoram as he compromises everything. Notice verse 4. "And when Jehoram was raised up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself." Well, that sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? He just wants to strengthen himself. Well, what did he do to do that? He slew all of his brothers, every one of them, except one, we'll find out. He slew them with the sword and also others, also of the princes of Israel. He just had a bloodbath of anybody that came against him. Anybody that was opposed to anything that he ever said, he kept good score. And he went and he wiped every single one of them out. Talk about a cutthroat. Almost wiping out David's dynasty, his lineage. Think about that. Now, Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem to do a lot of damage. Why did he do this horrible thing of this slaughter of all these men, these princes and very gifted individuals? Way better than he was, as far as their thinking, as far as their characters, everything, way better. And he was a very jealous man. So he just did away with them. Why did he do those things? Verse 6, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Remember the north? They walked in sin. Like as did the house of Ahab. He followed his father-in-law. He liked the guy. They had fellowship with each other. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. Big mistake. She was an evil, wicked woman like Jezebel, her mother. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. He began to go down a very dark trail. God doesn't bless mixed marriages, ever. What do you mean? I'm not talking culture. I mean, that's a struggle in itself, but I'm talking one knows the Lord, one doesn't know the Lord. He'll never bless that union. There is no union. And yet they'll say at the wedding, oh, he's my soulmate. She's my soulmate. Bunk. Baloney. You're not on the same track. One's a believer and one's not. What does that tell you? Just confusion, mass confusion. Verse 7, howbeit the Lord would not destroy, notice, Judah, like he did Israel. He just let Israel go. He just called the Assyrians in. They came in and did his work for him. He used nations as his spanking spoon. And man, did he spank the north. They'll never forget that lesson. Today they talk about it very quietly. But he will not destroy the house of David, Judah, because of the covenant that he made with David, and that he had made with David, and as he promised and made with David and promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. Over in chapter 13, verse 11, let me read it to you. 13:11. It says in the middle of the verse of 13:11 that God gave them a candlestick of gold with lamps thereof to burn every evening. This candlestick represented Israel to be a light to the world of who God was and what he was all about. He was a light. He wasn't in darkness. There's no darkness in God. He was light. Now, when we light this candelabra up, this communion, what does that stand for? If this stood for Israel, which is on their flag, what does this now stand for us? If you remember in Revelation, it says, Jesus said, and if you don't seek me and keep me in focus, I'll take your candlestick from you and you can become religious and not have a relationship. That's what he said in Revelations. So this is a reminder to all of us tonight that we're now to be the light to the world around us. That no longer the Jews are they? They don't represent Christ. They don't believe that he's the Messiah. We do, and that's our responsibility, to be lights, to be like salt, and attract many to know the Lord. I mean, we're always reaching out, aren't we? Evangelism, telling somebody, compelling them to come in. But notice this, that it says that David, his covenant that God gave to him, his promise that you will always have a light. There will always be a light. Over in 1 Chronicles 17:12. 1 Chronicles 17, verse 12. It says, he shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. God speaking about David. David's going to build the house. And it's not going to be David, it's going to be Solomon, but his son. But I'm going to establish his throne forever. This is the light, this little light of mine, and he's handing it down. And God says, I am a faithful God. I gave that as a covenant, I gave that as a promise. That light will not go out. No matter how dark, no matter how evil, no matter how bad it's going, that light will continue to remain. I love this. God will honor his word above his name. He had every right to wipe out Judah. Every right. Why? Because Judah is going downhill. It's dark. It's evil. Wait till you see what happens here. He had every right to wipe them out. But he promised, I won't. And he promises us so many things. Stand on his promises. He's faithful to every single one of them. It just so happens to say in the scriptures that the way of the transgressor is hard. In other words, those that think that they can get on with their lives without God and do their own thing, that's a hard trek. Well, you say, but I've got a nice car sitting out there in the parking lot. I've got money in the bank. I got a good job. All right. It's going to get hard. Oh, it might not be now. But the way of those that go the way of the world, for a season, there is that sin that just kind of keeps you in that spot of just thinking, you've got it, man. You've made it. Then all of a sudden, it begins to fall apart. Every single time, guaranteed. The way of a sinner is a tough road to go. That's what the scripture says. Now, verse 8, in his days, the Edomites revolted. All of a sudden, here darkness has gotten into the kingdom of Judah. There's death. There's blood on the floor. It's ugly. And all of a sudden, these that were at peace with them, the Edomites, revolt from under the dominion of Judah, made themselves a king, just got away and got cocky and started to come against them. And Jehoram went forth with his princes and all his chariots with him, and he rose up by night and he smote the Edomites, which compassed him in. Notice, the Edomites somehow, some way, trapped them as they were with their chariots and coming against them. And the captains of the chariots, they surrounded him. Somehow he got away. Notice verse 10. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day, to the writing of this. The same time also did Libnah revolt. So we've got a lot of revolting going on. We got a lot of rebels. We got a lot of people saying, you know what, I don't like Judah. I don't like what they're doing. I don't like what they stand for. Let's take them out. Hatred, anger from under his hand. Because notice why this is happening. Because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. He had forsaken the Lord and his commandments, his judgments, his statutes. He could care less about the word of God or what God says or what his prophets say. He didn't care. Revolution and war will be continuing with no peace and no rest. There will always be fear and bloodshed. Why? Because this is judgment on sin. You mean God judges people and nations? Yes. And it's all the way through the Old Testament that God is just. He's very fair. And all of a sudden, we see these nations that turn from him, do their own thing, and then he just allows things to fall apart. And sin comes in and does the work. Sin comes in and causes the fear, causes the anger, the hatred, the murder in men's hearts to go for it and to have war. They love it so. And we're seeing that today all over the world. Sin is having its way, isn't it? As blood is being shed, little children's heads being taken from their bodies. It's incredible. And so God judges. Notice, Jehoram is sowing to the flesh. He's reaping corruption because of it. Verse 11, moreover, he made the high places. This is the first time a king of Judah has ever made a high place. And a high place is an evil place. A high place is rebellion against God. It's like Babel, the Tower of Babel, man. What are you going to do? We're going to build up to an in, and we're going to reach God, whoever he is, and we're going to be high. Oh, yeah? Well, God sure leveled that whole thing. Just confused their language, man. That's all he had to do with that. They couldn't put one brick on another. But he made the high places. No other king has done this in Judah. Talk about evil. High places where you worship gross gods of the world. And there's sacrifices. There's children being burnt in the fires. And in the mountains of Judah. And caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication. All kinds of sexual sin was going on. It says he caused them. He just let it out. He just let the brothels go. He let the whole thing go. He definitely didn't take care of prostitution. He grew it. He spun it. And he kept it going. He encouraged it. Look what is happening in this nation. Look what is being encouraged. We have those in high places that are encouraging fornication all over the nation. They're not doing anything about it. They don't see it as wrong. Come on, you Christians, you're so temperamental. You're so, you don't flow with anything. You're so judgmental. No, we're just trying to say that it's more healthier and better to live for God and to go His way than the world's way. That's all we're saying. Well, you should be more tolerant. Well, no. Why? Well, because God says so. Is that, when God says, we go, yeah, okay. And he compelled Judah there too. Just harlots, man. Just sex everywhere. All over the nation. Everybody, if it feels good, do it. And they were doing it. Homosexuality was everywhere. I mean, it was just, and these are God's people. They were one time a very wholesome, holy people. Loving the Lord and loving his word. But look what happened. Can that happen to this nation? It already has. And now we're going to see the results of sin in the camp. It's not pretty. Because exactly what we're going through tonight is what's happening in this nation. And it will continue. Judgment has come to this nation. And God is involved with pouring it out and spanking this nation. The way we have acted and what we've done when we turned our back upon him and his word. His very creation, that which he created and loves, turned against him. And in a way, it's in all of us, isn't it? That wanting to just kind of rebel a little bit. And then we go, oh God, I'm sorry. And see, that sin nature is still lingering, isn't it? It's dead, spiritually speaking. Hey, it's been put out of business, but it rears its ugly no head snake because the head's been cut off. Thank God. But it's still moving, just like a snake moves when you cut the head off. We have to be careful that this flesh isn't lured into this world in the filth of it. And we get into it, and we start thinking that this is the answer.
Timely caution Pastor Jeff Johnson has given us here today on Sound Doctrine. We'll hear more on how our day parallels ancient Judah. What God does about it is quite amazing. Hey, would you like today's study from 2 Chronicles on CD? You can purchase a copy when you give us a call toll-free, 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Again, that phone number is 800-353-7553. I'd also like to mention you can replay today's program at sounddoctrineradio.org. And we also have an app, and that is a great way to stay connected with us and listen to some of Pastor Jeff's teachings as well. Look for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. Well, it's back to school time, so we thought it might be helpful, as a parent, to offer you a series on parent-child relationships. In this four-part series, Pastor Jeff shares his personal testimony, including how he and his wife applied biblical truths in raising their children. Request the Parent-Child Relationships four-part series on CD or on a thumb drive when you visit sounddoctrineradio.org or, again, call 800-353-7553. Sound Doctrine is made possible through the generous support of our listeners. And as we go through God's Word, one verse at a time, we're looking to our listeners for help to pay for radio time. Together, we can reach people with the love and truth of Christ that makes a difference. You can make a secure donation online, sounddoctrineradio.org, or by calling 800-353-7553. We'd love to hear from you, even if it's a quick hello telling us where you listen. Let us know how we can pray for you as well. Email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. We'll return to 2 Chronicles next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. May God richly bless you as you take in and apply sound doctrine to your life in Christ. So, Father,